Well, awesome, and welcome to Hoboken Grace. I couldn't really get a good idea of where you guys are. The first service was completely dead. I mean, just totally dead. Don't tell them I said that, but it was rough. I think, you know, if you're like me, when you find out that you have an extra hour of sleep, right, it means you stay up an hour and a half later. And so I think for a lot of us today, we're kind of running a little bit on empty, and so hopefully those first two songs got you running. Today's a really exciting day for us because we're looking forward to what's in store and what's next for us here at Hoboken Grace. And this past year has been phenomenal, right? I remember looking back over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking back at where we were at this point last year when we kind of did the same thing that we're doing today and looked forward to 2011. And to see what God's done throughout this year has just been unbelievable. I mean, let me just share a few of the things with you now. Over the course of this last year, we've seen 307 first-time guests here at Hoboken Grace. I mean, unbelievable. Last week,
we had 162 people at one service, right?
Last week, we had 315 people in two different services. Unbelievable, right? So we've moved from one service to two service. This year, we've seen 32 people take the step of baptism. And we have two more lined up to take that step in just a couple of weeks. Unbelievable. Last week, we had 84 attend a dinner group. This past week, we had 154 attend a dinner group. That's not the number of people signed up for a dinner group. That number's well over 200. That's the number of people who actually showed up to dinner group this past week. Unbelievable. When we talked last year, we talked about how we were going to launch this thing called the Easter Egg Hunt, which only had well over 1,000 people attend it this year. We talked about how we're going to increase our connection events. We can't even fit our connection events in our program anymore. There's so many of them happening. We talked about how we're going to continue to develop worship night. Like Ryan said, if you weren't here on Friday, you missed it. We've been working on this and developing this over the course of a little over a year now and looking at what this could be. And Friday night, I think we finally got to the point where we saw a little bit of what it could actually begin to look like. We had over 112 people here on Friday night praising God and coming to fight for the people around us in prayer. Unbelievable. And then our children's classes, you look at what's happening upstairs. Last year at this point, we had two classes. Now we have four classes, and we've extended how we're able to care for and love the children who are a part of this family. It's been an unbelievable year. It really has been. And God's been doing unbelievable things. I mean, you look at all this, and that's nothing compared to the stories that are coming out of people's lives of how people are moving from death to life. And how people are moving from a dependence on themselves to dependence on God. And if you go online and go to our stories blog, you can just hear story after story after story after story of people whose lives are changing, drastically changing. Unbelievable what God's been doing. And as we look through the rest of this year, we realized that this week was probably our last time that we were going to have an opportunity to really look forward to what is in store and what do we see God leading us into for 2012. Because next week, we're going to be stepping into a series called Roots. I'm going to explain it a little bit later. An unbelievable conversation that we're going to be having throughout November. And then in December, we're going to walk through this idea of encouragement. And it's going to be, I'm telling you, the next two series, I'm so pumped about them, but they're back to back. So there's really no time in between to be able to talk about what's next. So I wanted to take this morning to be able to walk you through where we're headed as a church family in this next year and what we believe that God is leading us into and what we believe He has in store for us. And there are a few passages that I think really encapsulate what we believe that He's calling us to focus on. We know the mission that He's called us to. We talked about that in the summer, and I'm going to touch on that in just a little bit. But there's a focus that I believe that He's calling us to. And I want to read you two passages where I think it's really where it's really clear what He's saying. The first is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. I'm going to read you verses 13 through 16. It says this. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." He says, listen, you are the ones who are going to shine me to the world around you. You're the ones who are going to bring me to the world around you. And so he says, you have to be out there like this light that's shining from the top of a hill so that everyone can see who I am. He builds on this further in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 18 through 21. It says, "And all this," and he's talking about what God's done for us, "is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, 'Come back to God.' For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ." Ambassadors. And so you see these two pictures beside one another. You see that, okay, you are the ones, you are the light to the world. And then he comes in 1 Corinthians, you are his ambassadors. I don't know if you realize this or not, but the world around you is going to determine who God is based upon their interaction with you. The world is going to determine who God is based upon how they see him represented in you. You are his light. You are his ambassadors. And we talked about this a little bit at the end of our previous series when we talked about our purpose of sharing. You are created at this moment and this time to take his message to the world around you. That's why you're here. And as you look at these passages, you see that fleshed out a little bit more, that you're the ones, you are going to determine how the world sees God. And for us, this is huge. And as we look at this next year, and we look at the focus that we believe God is calling us into, the truth is, there aren't going to be a ton of new things for us here at Hoboken Grace in 2012. There aren't going to be a lot of huge changes in what we do or how we do it or how we go about things. Our focus is not going to be on what more can we do. Our focus is going to be on what we see reflected in these passages. Our focus is going to be, how can we better represent him? How can we get better at how we reflect him? How can we get better at being that light on top of a hill? How can we get better at making sure that how the world sees God through us is accurate? And this is crucial. Absolutely crucial. It was interesting, a couple weeks ago, I received a gift, and for those of you who know me, you know that I'm obsessed with Apple things. I just love Apple products. I try to make sure that nothing that happens in the church takes place on a PC. I just think it just takes us down a slippery slope. And I'm a big Apple guy, have been for years and years, And so one of my friends bought me the Steve Jobs biography, which for me was just a phenomenal gift. I didn't realize it was this big. I mean, is this ridiculous? But I've been making my way through it, and it's kind of an interesting story, and there's a lot of really cool things in it. But one thing in particular just blew me away, especially as I was working through this, okay, where are we going in 2012? God, what do you want us to focus on as we move into this year? And looking at, okay, how do we better represent him? And how are we going to become accurate ambassadors of who he is and what he wants to do? And as I'm having this conversation in my mind, all of a sudden I came to this point in the book, and it's at the point where they're just beginning to launch Apple, and they're beginning to determine, okay, what are our core values going to be? And Steve Jobs comes in contact with this guy named Mike Markula, I believe that's how you pronounce his name. And he writes out the three values upon which Apple will be founded and continues to operate to this day. The first two were pretty much what I expected. The third one blew me away. I'll read you this part from the book. It says this, it says, the third and equally important principle, awkwardly named, was impute. It emphasized that people form an opinion about a company or product based upon the signals that it conveys. People do judge a book by its cover, he wrote. We may have the best product, the highest quality, the most useful software, etc. If we present them in a slipshod manner, they will be perceived as slipshod. If we present them in a creative, professional manner, we will impute the desired qualities. For the rest of his career, Jobs would understand the needs and desires of customers better than any other business leader. He would focus on a handful of core products, and he would care, sometimes obsessively, about marketing and image, even the details of packaging. When you open the box of an iPhone or iPad, we want that tactile experience to set the tone for how you perceive the product, he said. Mike taught me that. When I read that, it blew me away. And obviously, impute is kind of an interesting word for us as followers of Jesus Christ. You may not know this, but the technical term for what happens at the cross is imputation. And when you look at what happens at the cross, the Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ gives his life on the cross, that our sin was imputed to him. Because this idea of impute means that you actually give something to something else. Right? And so when we look at the cross, the Bible tells us that our sin was actually imputed to Jesus Christ, and that when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, that his righteousness is actually imputed to us. This is what makes it possible for us to be able to have a relationship with God. The fact that we have had this imputed to us. And so when I looked at this statement, it blew me away. I realized that, okay, we can't actually impute anything to God. We can't give anything to God. One of the things that's interesting when you read through the scriptures, that over and over and over again it says to give God glory, right? We can't actually make God more glorious. We can't actually impute anything to him. He is all that he needs to be. There's nothing that needs to be added. But as I read that statement, I realized that when we look at how we are to be the light on the hill, when we look at how we are to be his ambassadors, this statement nails it. And so I changed it around just a little bit. I'll read it to you now with a little bit of the changes. It says, we may serve the greatest God imaginable, the most loving, the most glorious, etc. If we present him in a slipshod manner, they will perceive him as slipshod. If we present him in a creative, exciting, thoughtful manner, we will reflect his incredible qualities. You see, we are to be those who reflect him. And as we look at 2012, one of the things that we realize and that we believe that God is leading us into is that we have to get better at how we reflect him. We have to understand that every single thing that we do communicates something about him. If you've ever opened an Apple product, you know exactly what they're talking about inside that book. I was one of the idiots of a few weeks ago who stayed up until 3 a.m. to be able to order an iPhone 4S. I've been waiting a couple years for this. I don't really like the exterior upgrade phones. I like the interior upgrade phones, so I was waiting for this one, and I was super, super excited when they announced it, and so I waited until 3 a.m., found out the next day I didn't really have to do that because I could have ordered it the next day and got it on the same time, and then I actually found out I could have bought it in the store later on the first day it came out. I was like, man, I just wasted a ton of time. But when that thing got there, and you unwrap that package, I'm telling you, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're excited about what's inside that box before you ever even touch it. If you ever watched a presentation that Apple does on their products, you're excited about that product, and no one has actually used it. Why? Because they understand everything we do communicates something about this product. The same thing is true for you in the God that you serve. Everything we do communicates something about who He is. And the way that our world interacts with, responds to, and understands God is going to be determined by how we represent Him. Now, when I first hear that, that's something that becomes really heavy, right? But, and I want to make sure you understand, you don't just carry this alone. We carry this together as a body. This is given to all of us together as a body, that we represent Him in this way. But that's the truth of the matter. We represent Him. And their understanding is going to be based upon that. Now, if you were with us in the summer, you heard us talk about our mission for 2012 and the fact that we believe that God has called us to stay inside the city, to not look at where we can start new locations, different places, and different look outside of this city of Hoboken, but to focus on reaching those who are far from Him. And to look at, okay, how can we not just reach those who are asking questions, but how can we reach those who are far from Him? How can we not just reach those friends of yours who are beginning to ask questions about who God is and are interested in that, but how can we reach those friends of yours, those coworkers of yours, those roommates of yours who don't want anything to do with that conversation? That's our mission as we go into this next year. And so when we look at focus, we believe that our focus has to be on better representing Him, on improving the way in which we represent Him in order to reach those who are far from Him. And if you could wrap up 2012 into one phrase for us here at Hoboken Grace, it's all about improving the way that we represent or present Him in order to reach those who are far from Him. How can we become better ambassadors? Let me read this to you again from that passage. And He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. We know that. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. How can we better represent Him in order to reach those who are far from Him? I believe that there are three areas in which we have to focus if this is going to happen inside of our church. The first is that we have to get to the point where we are better representing Him personally. Because you see, the church isn't going to be able to interact with your friend who doesn't want to have a conversation about this. You're the only one that he's going to see. That means that we have got to get better at how we represent Him personally. And so as we look at that, over the last couple of months, you've heard us talking about the fact that we've brought John Carlos on full time. John Carlos's job is to help us get better at how we represent our God personally. Help us get better and grow in our relationship with Him so that our decisions better reflect who He is and how He works. His job is our personal growth and development as a church so that we can better represent Him in all these different places through our personal lives. There are a couple of things that you're going to see Him launch over this next year that I'm super excited about. The first is something that we call Growth Catalysts. We have one going on right now. It's about relationships. And these growth catalysts are going to be area specific. So it may have to do with finding God's will. It may have to do with the way I look at money. It may have to do with the way I look at sex or power. It may have to do with the way I look at relationships like the one that we have going on right now. But the idea is that in these growth catalysts, we have the opportunity to say, okay, how can my decisions in these areas of my life better represent God to the world around me? That's what it's all about. And so throughout this next year, you're going to see those things launched. And they operate somewhat like a dinner group. You come together with a group of people 4 to 6 weeks to be able to walk through this, have dinner together. We're encouraging people to go to dinner group and then to add this to that schedule. And some people are like, man, that's a lot. Yeah, it's a growth step. That means that you take one step further than what you currently are engaged in. It's about growing personally. And growth means that you have to step outside of where you currently are. You say, I got to go to the gym, and believe me, I understand. I mean, how do you think I keep this figure? It's like a no-fail joke. If I want people to laugh, talk about me and my figure, being buff, like, no fail. But it's kind of sad. But And I understand that it's going to take more time. And I understand that it's going to mean that we're going to have to make decisions, sometimes between two good things. But this is about growth, personal growth, so that personally I represent him better in the world around me. And if you think that's a lot, wait till you hear about the other program that we're launching called Radical. This has been in testing for the last couple months, actually throughout this last year, and Radical is going to be our one-on-one discipleship training. It's going to be 20 weeks long. We'll explain why we're naming it that later on. Radical has to do with the root of something. It has to do with being rooted in something. It doesn't have to do with being fanatical. We'll explain that as we begin to launch this and make this available to you. But this is a 20-week long course for you to be able to engage with someone one-on-one on, okay, how do I understand what God is doing in my life? How do I work through the truth and the lies in my life, the things, that the idols in my life that I'm pursuing that need to be rooted out in order for me to what? Better present him through the way I live my life personally. The first thing that needs to happen, if this is going to be a reality in our lives, if we're going to live out this idea of being his ambassadors, is that we have to grow in our representation of him personally. Number two, we have to grow in the quality of how we represent him as a family. It was funny because John Carlos, who does The Silence, who I just talked about, he also was given the book at the same time, and so we began to read through it. And if you're part of one of our teams here at Hoboken Grace and you've interacted with me about what we do, you realize that I'm really big on details. And one of the things that I comment about all the time are chords. And if you've ever been a part of the setup team here, you know what I'm talking about. I have a really hard time if I walk in and our chords aren't taped down and they're not straight. Like, there's a reason why this cord up here is like perfectly straight over and then angled back, right? I'm really, really big on that. And it's interesting because when people first come in contact with me about that, they're like, well, that dude is weird. Actually, not when they first come in contact. Most people just think that. But that first conversation, like, man, why is he making such a big deal about that? Because here's the thing, guys. Everything that we do communicates something about who he is. Not just some of the things that we do, not just the big things that we do, everything that we do communicates something about who he is. And so for me, I want to make sure that when your friend walks in here and you've been pouring your life into investing in them and you've been pouring your life into having them join us on a Sunday morning, that when they walk in here, every single thing that they see that we do, they realize just how important he is to us. That we don't just throw this together, but that we put time and thought into how we do this and how this works. Why? Because that's how big he is. That's how great he is. And so with everything that we do, we want it to be an accurate representation of who he is. Sometimes people will ask me about the music. Man, your music is so expressive and so loud. I'm like, do you understand who our God is? And I grew up in churches where it's like, man, how great is our God? And it looks something like this, where you're singing, how great is our God? And it's like, how great is our God? Sing with me. And I'm thinking to myself, if anyone ever sees this, there's no way they're going to believe that he's great. And so I tell our team, man, if we're singing about God being great, let's have some great music behind it. Let's do it in a way that actually conveys who he is. Why? Because everything communicates. Everything communicates something about how valuable he is. How special he is. How powerful he is. And if we're going to better represent him in order to reach those who are far from him, we have to continue to get better at what we do as a family. And so last week I announced the fact that Brad is going to be stepping out of his communications position at the end of this month. And Brad has been working with us full time for quite a while. And we had a big decision to make as a leadership team, because we could either find someone who could kind of fill that position, or we could go after the person that we thought would best help us move forward and getting better at how we present him to the world around us. And I realized that we didn't have the money to be able to pay the person that we thought would best represent us as we move forward. I realized that in order for that to happen, the person that we had in mind was probably going to have to take a significant pay cut. But we decided that, you know what, it's not enough to just get it done. It's not enough to just get by. We have to do it to the best that we possibly can. And so I sat down a couple weeks ago with someone and I said, listen, do you think that you'd be willing to take a significant pay cut to help us get better at this? And I cannot tell you how excited I am that as we walk into 2012, that position that was once occupied by Brad is going to be occupied by Rachel Norris. And our experience with her, she brought a level of professionalism that we needed. And our experience with her, she brought leadership and recruitment skills that we needed. Why? So that we can better present him to the world around us. We have to get better at how we present him if we're going to reach those who are far from him. And then number three, we have to grow in the number of people we represent him to. And obviously, this is something we talk about over and over and over and over and over again. How can we impact more people? I've got a couple of really exciting things to announce this next year of how we're going to do that. Number one, this next year, we are going to see our final Bridge event. We had hoped that we were going to be able to see it this year. Our plan this year was to add two new Bridge events. And when we talk about Bridge events, we're talking about large service events. So the ones that we currently do are our Easter egg hunt one day and the dog party. These are large service events. We're interacting with large numbers of people inside of our community, loving them and serving them through these events. And I'm telling you, if we could have got permission to launch pumpkins into the Hudson River, it would have been epic. And I'm going to continue pursuing that on a personal basis. But we realize that's probably not the best way to move forward. And so we realize that we're going to have to go a little bit different direction. But we've got some really good ideas of what that's going to look like for this next year. We're going to add that final Bridge event in 2012. Our SE, our simple service, as you've seen over the past couple weeks, has been increasing dramatically. As we move into 2012, that is going to continue to increase dramatically. And every single week next year, you're going to see us at a bus stop or a train station or somewhere inside of our city, loving and serving hundreds of people every single week. As we move forward, this past year, we were super excited to be able to add our first missions trip. And so we went and worked with New Missions in Haiti to be able to help them rebuild and continue rebuilding that country. And this year, we're going back to Haiti, but we're excited to announce that we're not just doing one missions trip this year. We're doing three missions trips this year. And so this year, we're going to Haiti, we're going to Guatemala, and we're going to Mexico. I'm telling you, it's exciting. And I told you a couple weeks ago that this year we're launching our Christmas Eve service. There's 2 weeks in the year where I get the most phone calls about whether or not we're having a service. People who aren't a part of our church family, but who are interested in going to a service. And for the last few years, every single time I've answered that phone call and said, you know what, I'd love to be able to have a Good Friday service. I'd love to be able to have a Christmas Eve service, but we're not at the point in our family where we're going to be able to do that in such a way that it accurately represents God. But as soon as we can, we're going to do it. This next year, 2012, both of those services will be happening at Hoboken Grace. How can we grow in our representation of him in order to reach those who are far from him? We believe that this is where God's taking us. And then obviously, one of the questions that we're always asking is, as people begin responding to this, what are we going to do with this? Because as we've made that move from one service to two service, from 150 to 315, and over the past couple weeks, as you've been a part of this, you've realized, man, it's beginning to become a little bit difficult to find a seat. And there are still seats here, but one of the things that's really important to us is that if you bring a guest or if you invite someone to come and they walk in 10 to 15 minutes after the service starts, that they don't have to sit in the back and kind of look around for 15 minutes to figure out where they're going to sit. We want to make sure that that's something that's easy. We want to make sure that they realize that there's space for them and that they can find a place to be able to be a part of this easily and quickly. And so as we look at 2012, we don't yet know whether it's going to be in this location or whether it's going to be in multiple locations throughout our city. We don't yet know the exact times. But our goal as a leadership team by the time we get done with 2012 is that we would have four services here at Hoboken Grace that would seat at least 200 people. So that as God continues to bring people back to him, as we continue to bring this message of reconciliation, as we continue to speak for Christ, we plead, come back to God, that they would be able to celebrate with us in that. And we're hoping, for those of you who have been hoping for a long time that this would happen, that we will bring back the 6 p.m. service, which will be a big deal for some of you. Because you just don't like getting up before 2. I don't understand you, but you don't like getting up before 2. This is what we believe God's calling us to do. And when we look at, okay, God, you're calling us to be this ambassador. You're calling us to represent you in this way. We believe that this is the way in which we can grow in our ability to represent him in order to reach those who are far from him. But if this is going to happen, it's going to take every single one of us. And when we talk about buy-in here at Hoboken Grace, we talk about 3 different things. We talk about time, talents, and treasures. And these are 3 areas where I believe that as God is pursuing you, he wants you to give him first place. He doesn't want you to give him first place because of the fact that he needs something from you. He wants you to give him first place because that's how you begin to experience him in your life. And if this is going to happen in your life, it's going to take time. It's going to take time because it's going to mean that you're going to have to, if you're going to grow in your personal representation to the world around you, you're going to have to be committed to that dinner group. Not just signing up for that dinner group, attending that dinner group. Not just showing up for that dinner group, but engaging in that dinner group. Caring for the people around you. Diving into, okay, what are we studying? How do I not just be a hearer of God's word, but be a doer of God's word? It's going to take time. It's going to take your talents. My challenge to you as we go into 2012 is not to give God your second best, but to give him your best. For a lot of us, we give our jobs and our career our best, and then we step into our service position here at Hoboken Grace or wherever we're serving, and we kind of give whatever's left over. My challenge to you is to give God your best. And say, okay, how can I bring the best of my talents and my skills and how God has created me to be a part of representing him to the world around me? How can I bring the best of what I have in order that somehow I can live out this purpose of sharing him with the world around me as a part of this family, as a part of this team? It's going to take your time. It's going to take your talents. And it's going to take our treasures. One of the things that God leads us into in our lives is not just trusting him with our time and our talents, but trusting him with our treasures. The Bible says that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be as well. And throughout the scriptures, there's this idea of tithing that's introduced over and over and over again. It's the idea that I give back to God the first 10% of whatever he's given me. And when you hear Jesus Christ talk about it, he actually talks about it in such a way where it almost sounds like it's something that you just kind of understand and take for granted. In Luke 11:42, he's talking to the Pharisees. He says, "What sorrow awaits you, Pharisees, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore justice and the love of God." You should tithe, yes. Okay, yes, you understand that. He almost talks about it like it's a given, but do not neglect the more important things. Tithing is a part of your experience of God in that you say, okay, God, I'm going to give you the first of what you've given to me because, number one, I trust you that you gave it to me, and number two, I'm going to trust you with my finances instead of me with my finances. And for some of you, you've become a part of Hoboken Grace here, and you're beginning to experience God in some incredible ways, but you're still trusting yourself when it comes to your finances. And sometimes people ask me about why we do things the way that we do as far as money is concerned here at Hoboken Grace. We rarely ever talk about money on Sunday morning. There's only a few Sundays of the year where we actually bring it up. We're very, very conscious of that. We do that very strategically because, again, when you invite someone to come with you on Sunday morning, we want to make sure that the message that they walk away with is not that God wants your money. And for too long, we feel like the church has miscommunicated money to the point where people think that church is just about money and it's just about God wants my money. God doesn't care about your money. God doesn't want your money. God wants you. And one of the ways that you begin to experience him, one of the ways that you begin to understand him is that you begin to give back to him. You recognize him. And so people will say, well, you're afraid to talk about money. I'm not afraid to talk about money. Because here's the thing. In my life personally, there has been no other area of my life in which I have experienced God more concretely than when it comes to the area of finances. And I see this not only in my life, but in the lives of the people around me all the time. I had a conversation with a guy the other day, and he's in this process, and he's working through, actually a couple months ago, but he's working through, okay, I'm going to begin tithing. This is a huge step for him, because when he looked at his budget, he's like, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. And that's exactly how it worked in my life. In my life, I mean, I was in debt, and I kept saying to God, God, I'll tithe, I'll give to you as soon as I get out of debt. And I can remember very clearly the day. It's one of those moments where God just spoke very clearly to my heart. And God said to me, I'm not going to let you get out of debt until you start tithing. Until you give to me first. Because I'm not going to let you believe that you're the one who did this, that you're the one who provides for you. And I experienced that step of tithing and watching him lead me out of that. Unbelievable. It's one of the most concrete examples of God working in my life that I've ever experienced. And in this guy's life, he's like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he's like, but I'm just going to trust God. I see God that leading me to give to him. And so he made the decision to do that. And his life went crazy. And so he calls me up a little while later. His company's about to declare bankruptcy. All this, his life's like literally like going crazy. And he's like, I thought you said if I tithe, that God was going to take care of me. Now my company's declaring bankruptcy. I have no idea what I'm going to have, if I'm going to have a job. I have no idea what's happening next. And he went on this whirlwind, but he continued to be faithful in putting God first in his finances. A couple weeks ago, he texted me. He said, I walked into my job this morning. I got fired. 8 a.m. They said, you're fired. He said, so we get a couple weeks severance, a couple months severance? They're like, no, we'll pay you through the end of the week. That's it. So he texted me. He's like, you know what? I'm probably going to have to move out of Hoboken. I'm not going to be able to afford to live there. I don't know how I'm going to make it. That was at 8 a.m. At noon that day, he got a call from someone he'd been working with a couple months previously. They called him up and said, listen, we're looking to fill this position. Do you think you'd be interested? He said, I don't know if I'd be willing to leave my company.
I don't know if he said that, but that was funny.
By 1 o'clock that afternoon, he had another job in this economy. Unbelievable. He sent me an email this week. It says, I've been tithing for the last 3 months and really stressed because it brings my available income down to basically nothing. I'm very tight with my bills. In any event, I've been doing it and praying for God to carry me through it, especially after last month, which was tough with a lot of unexpected bills. My old company, he gives the name of his company, pays up to the day of the paycheck. So when I left 2 Fridays ago, I was paid 100% through that Friday and should not receive anything more from them. This past Friday, $700 ended up in my account because of some weird counter deposit from my company for monies they withheld too much of. It was completely unexpected on my side and theirs, and I hadn't budgeted it at all. That amount will allow me to pay my bills from last month. God is good. I'm not afraid to talk about money, because if you want to experience God, you trust him with your finances. And you see what he does. It's one of those weird areas in our life where God actually tells you to test him. And for some of us, this is our next step. Where we need to say, okay, I'm going to trust him, not just with my time and my talents, but I'm going to trust him with my treasures. And to step into this mission with us together as a family. It's going to take every single one of us. When we started this church, I started this church with a question. It's a question that changed my life. I was once reading a book about a guy named D.L. Moody. Many of you probably know who he is. He's a guy who changed the world. And D.L. Moody, as he was kind of growing up in his position as a pastor and as he was developing his relationship with God, he came in contact with someone who asked him a question. And they said, D.L. Moody, the world has yet to see what God can do with one man fully devoted to him. When Moody died and they opened his Bible, that was written on the front cover. He lived his entire life trying to answer that question. When we started this church, I started with one question. What can God do? At that time, there were five of us with five people fully devoted to him. God took those five people and brought it to 60. And I asked the same question. What can God do with 60 people fully devoted to him? And I asked the question at 120, 150, 200. And I asked the question to you today. What can God do with 300 people fully devoted to him? We've seen what he could do with five. What can he do with 300? Steve Jobs is famous for another quote. He said, "Those who think they're crazy enough to change the world are usually the ones who do. I don't think I can change the world, but I know my God can. And I know he's committed to working through people just like you and just like me. And I believe, without one ounce of hesitation, that God will change the world if he has 300 people fully devoted to him. The question is, will you join him? The question is, will you let go of those time, talent, and treasures? He's worth it. How can we better represent him in order to reach those who are far from him? It's going to happen. My question to you is, will you be part of it? Will you pray with me? Father, as we come to this point and as we look at where you're leading us, it's all because of your love. It's all because of your grace. We have nothing. We had nothing to offer. What we've seen happen this past year is because of your grace and your love and your power. And Father, we stand before you, humbled and thankful. We stand before you even more committed to living our lives fully devoted to you, more committed to answering this question. Father, I pray for those who are here. I pray that they wouldn't miss this. I pray that they would seize this opportunity to be a part of something bigger than themselves, to be a part of what you're doing. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.